What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Yeah, and like, and so the, you know, this agent's like, oh, I don't understand why you just can't understand the pleasure of anal sex. I'm like, how about you stick a 16-ounce water bottle up your ass for 2 hours straight and bring it in and out, and you tell me how easy it is.
Today, the show is sponsored by FabFitFun.
FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box that delivers full-size fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products.
The FabFitFun Fall Box is now on presale. Boxes start shipping August 20th, so reserve the highly anticipated Fall Box today, folks.
FabFitFun boxes are delivered 4 times a year for just $49.99 a box. A lot of times, just one of the product's retail value is more than the cost of the entire box.
All members can choose between the Vince Camuto Luck Tote in black or desert red, parentheses, retail value of $128, or you can pick the Crown Brush 6-piece brush set in silver or black, which, another parentheses, retails for $75. And parentheses, because that's how parentheses work, the more you know.
Every box will include 2 Glam Glow bubble sheet masks for you and your bestie to use on your girls' night in. Put them on your face. I used them. They bubble. They sound like pop rocks. And my face feels like a baby. And a beauty blender in Pro Original Chill Pop Bubble Glow Royal Apricot or Nude.
It also includes Simply Whimsical set of 2 tea towels and Skinning Company's Roma Blue and Capri Shower Gel. You can also get 1 from each of the following sets. In set 1, you can get the Grown Alchemist Polishing Facial Exfoliant or Grown Alchemist Hydro Repair Day Cream in Camellia and Geranium Blossom or Grown Alchemist Hydro Restore Cream Cleanser, Olive Leaf and Plantango Extract. Set 2, Silo Cobra Bluetooth Wireless Earbuds in white with rose gold or black with rose gold or Catherine Malandrino Umbrella in pink and white or black and white. Set 3, Vince Camuto Luck Tote in black or red desert or a Crown Brush 6-piece brush set in silver or black. Set 4, Alfred Teapot or Alfred French Press Coffee Brewer. And then set 5, Kushio Somatology Yoga Detox Bath or Pharmacy Do-It-All Total Eye Cream with Echinacea, Green Envy, or Touchin' Soul Metalist Liquid Foil Lipstick Duo and Number 2 Penny. There are also memberships with FabFitFun, where on top of getting such great products for incredible value in the box, FabFitFun members also get access to exclusive sales from all the amazing brands that FabFitFun partners with at a really great deal, like up to 70% off, kind of good. Yeah, just saying.
Sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. So use our code MESS, M-E-S-S, to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Again, use promo code MESS, M-E-S-S, to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use our code MESS to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Welcome to Don't Mess. I'm Christine Sidelko.
And I am Chris Clemens.
And this is our podcast.
On the podcast, we are just trying to learn more about people, places, and things.
Personally, I want to learn more about adjectives, adverbs, and nouns.
See, I'm more of a preposition guy. Wait, we're making this sound like a podcast about grammar.
Basically, we interview people that we find interesting and want to learn more about, and hopefully you want to learn more about them too. And Don't Mess is a CastBox original produced alongside Studio 71. CastBox, if you haven't heard of it, is a podcast app available on iOS and Android. It's one of the fastest growing apps for podcasts on the market, and you can listen to Don't Mess on your other podcast platforms, but I hope that you give CastBox a try. I think it's a really great app. You can find all of your favorite podcasts on there, including, hopefully, mine. Don't mess.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Don't Mess. We are here with our part 2 with Eden Blair, and
hey.
Last week we discussed your exotic dancing slash stripping, and this week we really want to get into the porn side of you.
Ooh.
Well, not into. I should have phrased that maybe a little bit better.
You want to get into me?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my God, yes. Teach me how to do porn noises.
Oh my God. Yeah, do you do, what, do you act it up a lot?
I'm
for
a hell
porn?
Of a
like, are you like a soccer player in FIFA?
You know what's funny is...
Like, do you really play it up?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So like, that's why I really love to build chemistry with my scene partner, because then I can really actually enjoy myself.
Gotcha.
That's like a big thing. Now, not to say I haven't had to fully act in a couple of scenes because it was bad chemistry or they were just an asshole or whatever. You know, I don't want to give too many things away, but a lot of it is like we are asked to like orgasm at a certain time. We're asked to do multiples. We're asked to do things like that. And
can
we
that?
Can't just stay quiet. Mm-hmm. That's another problem. So like, because if you're quiet, then it's just dead space.
Oh yeah. It's just
and
quiet, like slapping.
Yeah. So like even when I do like a blowjob, right? So like if I do a blowjob scene, it's like, again, my playful personality kind of comes through with those. I'm not like a gagger. I don't do things like face fucking. I don't like, I have a really sensitive gag reflex. So like if I'm in a deep throat, I have to do it myself. I can't just let someone like go in and out. You know what I mean? Some girls got magical throats that like stretch open.
Yeah, that just
open,
like are black
and
holes.
I don't understand
it
just at all.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
just like,
you're
just
born
like
for
a
the
wormhole.
Dick.
Just like whoop, right out the other
a
end.
A black hole.
Yeah. So for me, like if you do a blowjob scene, like obviously your mouth is over something most of the time. So you do some noises. I like to like break it up and like play a lot. Like I do a lot more hand work. I do like a little bit of spit play with my spit, like things like that. And I do like, I'm really well known for giggling in all my scenes as well. Like when I orgasm, I tend to giggle right after.
Can we hear a little sample?
Oh my God, I wish I had my toy. So I have a toy. That is a male masturbator. So I'm sure you guys have heard of Fleshlight, right?
Yeah.
My toy is from a company called Pleasure Products USA. It's called the 3V Stroker. And it has a recording of my voice on it, as well as vibration settings and
such. So you use that in scenes?
You can buy it at
Chris,
three,
you can get one.
Yeah, oh my God.
If I would have known you liked it, I would have brought one. They're fun.
Damn.
Bring one on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. I'll bring one. Yeah.
I don't think she believes
to get your male stroker.
So basically, for that, you know, I actually had to send them a clip to put on that toy, right? So it's a 20-second loop. And I basically sat down and I obviously couldn't use a vibrator like I usually prefer to, but you know, so I just used my hands, recorded myself while I was doing that for about 20 or 30 minutes. And then I listened to it and I found the best little gauge of what I felt was
a good noise.
The most me.
And
you
then
know?
You practiced that noise?
Yeah. No, I didn't practice. Oh. I just cut it right out of that and I sent it to them.
Oh,
so
just,
it was
oh,
legitimate
oh.
orgasm that was on that. You
gotcha.
Know, so that's the fun of those toys. And each one of them, there's 8 girls that they have, and each one has their own each
that's
girl's
so
voice
fun.
On
that's
it.
That's such
fun.
A good idea.
Yeah, they're really high quality.
There's
they're really
so
fun.
There's so much merch options for porn.
Yeah, so if someone wants one, they can go to 3vstroker.com and
Chris
check
is
them
writing
out.
It down.
I'm like, alrighty.
Yeah, and if you do decide to buy one, you can use the code Eden. It's EDYN for $5 off.
This is so similar to YouTube. It's literally, it's just
it's,
minus the sex.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's like we're just clothed in our vlog. Well, even sometimes.
Yes, but so how did you get into this? So you said you started dancing first and then you transitioned
to
porn.
Yeah, so basically, I got into this. It's like the weirdest story ever. So I've always been really, really sexual as a person. I feel like the porn star was always there. Like
I wanted to ask you, what were you
like
as a kid?
As a kid, I actually didn't lose my virginity until I was 18.
Oh.
For me though, it was like I got tired of being a virgin and being like the one in the group that's the virgin, and then everyone fucking up any kind of date that I could ever possibly try to get. Like that, because they would tell the dude, you know.
Oh my God.
Like, bitches. And so basically I had a friend that I hadn't seen in years that lived in another state, like right after I graduated high school, and went out to visit her for the summer after I graduated. And they had like a house party one night and this guy was there and he was like super cute. And I was just like, fuck it.
Wanna fuck?
And then you did.
And I fucked him.
You fucked him.
And he, you know, never knew. Doesn't know. He just said, oh, you're tight. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm tight anyway. Even all these years later, I'm just... So Like, if I do interracial scenes, I literally have to bring a dildo to, like, warm up to loosen everything up a little bit because it's so tight.
I really wish
so,
you guys could see Christine's face right now.
She's like, wow.
I'm such a virgin.
But yeah, so, anyway, so, you know, once I got that over with, like, I think I didn't have sex again for, like, a year or so.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then, like, I dated this dude for a couple years that was, like, kinky, but, like, I ended up just, like, he was, like, not comfortable for me kinky. Like, I've found that I'm actually a very dominant person, and I'm a natural dom.
I can see that. You
and
told
I've
somebody
tried,
to crawl.
Yeah, I try. Well, I do domination work all the time for scenes. Like, you know,
oh,
so
cool.
I do a lot of cuckolding. I do a lot of, like, another end of cuckolding is, like, bisexual movies where I'm with two men and making the other guy play with the other guy.
Oh,
so you're, like, the mediator.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, and then I've done, like, where I whip people and I do face sitting, smothering. Yeah, you know, so it's you know, it's super fun. And I have tried, in my personal life, submission. Not
Hate
comfortable
it.
With it at all.
You being
all.
Submissive.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah,
I have
I don't
like a certain
that.
Level, and once I'm past that level, I'm like, no.
Okay.
So definitely for scenes, not for me. They're much more intense than, you know, anything I would be comfortable with. So I just stay out of that, but I'm always available for domination stuff. And
is that
it's
more
super
popular,
fun.
Or what do you
submission
find?
Submission with women, like, that's mostly, like, if someone goes, oh, have you booked for a fetish shoot? I'd be like, what kind of fetish shoot is it?
I was
because it could be foot fetish and, like, a foot job or something, or face sitting. Or it could be, oh, we want to strap you neck and arms and legs to a table and have guys do, like, a gang rush on you.
Oh,
like,
my
that,
God.
That, you know what I mean? It could be that.
And they don't
or
tell
you, could
you
be,
before,
or,
say,
oh, we want to suspend
not?
You from a ceiling. And that's the thing. So that's why I, you know, like, they do tell you what it is. And that's why they my agent's job is to bring the job to me, explain what that job is. Now, I can get booked, like, I had an agent. So a really good example of miscommunication was there's a website called Throated,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, super rough. Hardcore.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
gentle. I can tell by the name.
Right?
Yeah, it
yeah.
doesn't sound gentle.
So I do blowjob scenes. I do not do blowjob scenes like that. And I had an agent years ago that booked me on that, told me it was a blowjob scene.
Oh my God.
And then I happened to be shooting with the director that was shooting for that website for another company, like 3 days before I was supposed to shoot that. And he goes, oh, did your agent tell you what website it was for? And I'm like, no. And he goes, oh, it's this one. And he pulled it up and I'm like, I can't do that. I'm like, but
like,
I can give you the names of four girls I can, you know, and he was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, that's not a problem. He's like, I just assumed that you were able to do that. You know, like, your agent sounded like you were okay with it. And I'm like, yeah, all he told me was a blowjob. And he goes, oh, he should have explained it.
So what do they want you to do?
Throated is like
just
super,
like,
rough, hardcore,
violent,
like hanging,
yeah.
hanging your neck off a couch and them just like going balls deep in
oh,
your
is that
face.
What, is
like,
that what
that's,
face fucking is? Is when
yeah.
They,
well, that's a very extreme version
that's
of face
like
fucking.
You,
but
that's
yeah,
what's
like
the
you,
difference between face fucking and a blowjob?
Okay, so a blowjob,
face fucking is usually kind of tied into most blowjob scenes where it's like the guy's like you hold your mouth open and the guy just kind
of
pumps.
Oh,
yeah,
so he's
right?
in control of
he's
it.
He's basically.
Yeah,
fucking
they like
literally
hold your head,
face.
Like that kind
God,
of thing.
God, that sounds awful.
It's like instead
it's
of your vagina.
It's not that bad. Like certain guys, like I can do it
if
just for a little time.
Yeah.
But like it just depends on the guy, you know, and how comfortable I am with them and how well they know me. Because I lay out all my do's and don'ts at the beginning. Like it's a consent thing. Like you have like our consent protocols are like so strong, you know, like that. And I like there are some guys where like I'm like, oh, I don't like being choked, but I trust you, and I know that you're not going to hurt me. If you do that mm-hmm. for this scene because of what the character is, you know what I mean? So it's like little things like that. But yeah, I mean, like for the most part, like I've been through like, I think I'm on my like fourth agent now and I feel very comfortable with the agent I have now. I'm a veteran performer at this time. Like, so I've been in for like 4.5 years. I've been nominated at the AVN, the XBiz and the Inked Awards multiple times. I think I have like 14 nominations total. I've never won anything, but it's still awesome to be nominated.
You're the Leonardo DiCaprio of the porn industry.
Right?
You really are. I'm like so honored to be sitting here.
Well, he finally won.
But
so yours
he
is coming.
Finally won, but he had to nearly kill himself to do it.
Yeah, you had like have a bear seat.
But yeah, you know, so you know, like doing that and like getting with an agent who, like, my agency is actually owned by Kendra Lust, who is a veteran performer who's
mm-hmm.
one of the top performers in this industry. And so having an agency where it's run by a female performer who understands
that's awesome,
you know, as a performer, very different than a lot of these other agents. A lot of these other agents don't come from a performer background. They come from some other background that's part of that. So it's part of the industry. And then they, you know, they end up, you know, having an agency and booking girls. And so sometimes they just don't get it. Like I once had an agent that was like, oh, I don't understand why you can't do anal. I'm like, because my body just won't stretch. My body just says no. Little anal plugs, awesome. Super fun. Love them.
Oh.
Cannot take a dick in my ass for 2 hours. Can't do it. You know,
I don't think many people can.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing people don't understand. Like people watch this like 20-minute scene or 30-minute scene and of the anal scene, not realizing that girl hasn't eaten in 24 hours. She's done 5 enemas and she's had to do anal plugs and everything else to get stretched up and ready. And then this guy is probably like as bigger than this candle that's sitting on this table.
Are you fucking kidding me? Dude,
yeah, and like, and so the you know this agent's like, oh, I don't understand why you just can't understand the pleasure of anal sex. I'm like, how about you stick a 16-ounce water bottle up your ass for 2 hours straight and bring it in and out, and you tell me how easy it is.
You're like, I'd be happy to do it as a man
who's never had something in his ass. How easy it is.
That's what's so surprising.
All the guys that demand anal have never stuck anything up their ass. They don't understand.
Let me peg you first.
That there is so much work and involvement that goes into preparing for anal or being able to do anal.
It's your fucking butt.
And I mean, and there are some girls I'm like, oh my God, girl, mad props. You can get a fucking arm in your ass. That's amazing.
That was a genuine gag. No,
I don't have a filter.
I love that. I need to be desensitized.
I mean, like fisting and stuff is a thing in our in the industry for a lot of girls, and that's what I mean. Like, I think I was talking about like what I classify as like the one percenters in my industry. Most women in my industry are actually where I'm at. They work once or twice a month. If they're lucky, everything is out of pocket for us. So we're paying $170 every 14 days to stay tested to potentially only get a scene that pays $300 or maybe get lucky and get a scene that pays $1,000. And the agent gets 15% of that. You also have to put 20% of that. Then that's the overall, taxes, the whole thing. And then you put 20% of that whole rate as well back for taxes, at the end of the year.
So you only really make
about 40% of what you're actually being paid.
That just seems so unfair.
That's brutal.
And that's the thing, though. But that depends on what you will and won't do. Yeah. Like, I will not be, hardcore rough scenes. I don't do super sloppy, like spit swapping, cum swapping. I can't do it. The gag reflex, I just can't. Like, it's not for me. I just can't do it.
Well, good for you.
I wish I could do it. I'd get booked more, but I just physically can't handle it. Like, I mentally, physically, I'm not okay with it. Yeah. And that's fine. My agent is like, that's fine. Whatever you do or don't want to do.
That's good that
period.
Your agent is like cool with that.
Agents should be. Now, some agents take advantage and some agents don't. Like, it's a really weird politics in the industry, girls that can do anal, double anal, double penetration, double vag, like bondage, like really rough stuff, like what kink does, like, gangbangs, things like that. Or like bukkake, like I can't do bukkake scenes either. I just can't handle that. Bukkake is where a girl gets like 20 or 30 loads in her face, like multiple guys.
Oh, semen.
Yes, that is a load.
That's bukkake. I do cream pie scenes, for instance, where the guy comes inside of you.
Yeah.
But like last time someone asked me to do a cream pie scene, they're like, okay, cool. Will you do like a gangbang cream pie? I'm like, no.
I literally just got chills.
Not comfortable. I'm like, oh, not comfortable with that. Not at all. But there are girls that are. And more power to them, because they get booked a lot, And those are like the 1% girls. Like, these are girls that you could name off the top of your head, like Angela White, Adriana Chechik, and like girls like that.
Yeah.
Like, these girls are like really big name girls. Like, they do everything.
And
they're
do you
incredible.
Find that sometimes that the if you want to be good, that you do have to just do everything?
Like, I have seen people do like gay for pay. You know what I mean? And it affects the quality of the movie. It affects the quality of the work. I've seen people that get booked on big feature movies, I have a theater background, so I've gotten booked on a lot of features, big features, like ones that are based on romance novels and shit. You know what I mean? So it's like different, where you have to memorize 20 pages of script and you're on set for 3 days straight for 14 hours and you have to be on it.
That seems more fun.
And then you have people that come in and they're like, oh, I was on a set once and the guy like couldn't remember any of his lines. He was like dragging a lot, like had a lot of trouble with the sex scene. Turns out he was on painkillers all day. You know what I mean? And Stormy Daniels herself was like, I'm sorry, I let him put his dick in you. I'm so sorry. Like, she apologized to me for booking me with that guy, because he was a new guy and she wanted to give him an opportunity.
So you know Stormy Daniels?
I've worked with her a couple of times. I don't personally know her, but all I can say is like that woman is a force to be reckoned with. She's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, she is.
She's such a professional. Like, she's
her
amazing.
Her 60 Minutes interview was really good.
It was.
Yeah, she's an incredible woman. Like a lot of these women that have been in this industry for a really, really long time are just powerhouses.
Well,
you
have to be. You've probably seen some of the worst shit, like, of society.
And you probably get taken advantage of like crazy. I mean, you've even talked about it just a little bit.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is, like, what's great about, like, we have companies like APAC and, like, the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. Yeah. Little bit of mouthful that way. But they have, for instance, like, mentorship situations, and they do meetings, and they do talks about, oh, here's how you can do better in finances, here's how you can prepare for taxes, here's how you can, like, here's the way consent should be stated, here's this and here's that. And as a, you know, even for me, like, I have blogs that I've written about, here's what you need to survive AVN, here's what you should expect cost wise here's what you should bring with you, here's what you should get, here's, you know, this,
you,
and this
book,
and that. Like, I wish I had enough information to write a book.
Oh, but I think, I mean, this podcast,
you know,
is enough.
Also,
I know,
here, I
just transcribe it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, and I have, like, other things about, like, contraceptives and porn, like, what my thoughts on that is. Like, I've seen girls that do creepy scenes that aren't even on any kind of birth control, which is a huge risk, you know, like,
that's...
just things like that. Like, you know, little things, like, and with younger girls as well, you know, like, I got pushed around the first time I got in the industry, and I didn't get pushed around very long because I actually come from, in between all that dancing, I was managing stores. Like, I'm from a sales and customer service background. I was a manager. I've run stores before. I've run, like, storage unit facilities, like, things like that. I come from a business background. So when I sit down and I'm like, well, why are we doing this? What's this? What's the pro of this? What's the con of that? You know, and then I'm fighting back on things that I feel aren't appropriate, you know, you're not going to stay with that agent very long, you know, and it's obvious it's just a bad
match.
Business relationship,
yeah.
Right? So I like to educate girls, even as dancers, like, new dancers coming in, I'll educate them, like, oh, you know, you can try this or try that. If this guy comes in, this is what he likes. This guy comes in, this is what he likes. You know, like, little things like that, you know, because those little things make the difference between having a successful business and not having a successful business, you know. So, and then, you know, with the industry now, like, the tube sites are killing so much stuff.
So what's a tube site?
A tube site is like Pornhub, RedTube, X-Hamster.
Oh, the free porn.
Yeah, which is really difficult because here's what happens. So let's say, like, you love me as a performer, right?
I do.
So
I love you as a performer and as a person.
I get fans all the time. I love you. I'm such a huge fan. Sent me a link to a tube site that's on one of my videos on, right? And I'm like, well, you're not that big of a fan if you're not paying to see me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. So basically, it takes money out of my pocket unknowingly. Because what happens is, let's say a really good example, because I know, like, this is a clip that was leaked, right? So let's say I shoot for Hustler, right? And I do that scene and I get paid, you know, for my boy-girl rate. And I got paid for that one day.
Well,
right?
How much would that be?
They can average anywhere from 800 to 1,000. It depends on the girl. Like, some of these girls, like, their boy girl rates are, like, outrageous because they're, like, performer of the year, like, things like that,
yeah.
Right?
Gotcha.
So the more substantial you get with that, the more your rate goes up, right? So it just varies. So let's just say I get a boy girl rate for that. I get paid that one day, and I sign a model release, so they get, you know, whatever. So Hustler can do whatever they want with it. They can, like, for example, one of my scenes that was shot by Devil's Film 3 years ago has been used in 12 different movies, and they shoot all the new girls and then throw that scene in there for the compilation for the DVD instead of rehiring me to do another movie because that scene is that good. They've reused it that many times, right? So it's very strange, and I'm not getting any compensation for that other than, like, I have an Adult Empire page, like my own little space, like my own store on there, which they automatically fill, which is my page. And every movie I've ever appeared in is on there, and people can buy it on VOD or they can buy just the scene or whatever. And I get a very small percentage of that sale. And that's the best I can get with that. Unless I buy the DVDs directly, I can sell them at expos, right?
Okay.
As a collector's item, I sign it, you know, that kind
of thing. Oh, do you do a lot of those?
I do a lot of expos. I do Exoticas every year. I'm going to be at Exotica New Jersey in November with Pleasure Products USA.
We should go.
Promoting my toy.
I'm down.
You guys would love
Exotica.
That'd
be interesting.
I'm down.
But yeah, and God, I lost my train of thought. Where was
I? Perfect, because we have to do an ad break.
Let's pick this back up in just a sec.
Yeah, so we're going to break for another ad because we love money.
Money.
And then when we get back, we will get even more into it, and maybe I'll even gag a little bit more.
Yeah, we're really going to get into the penetration when we get back.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just a big prude. But so stick around. We'll be right back.
We just want to say a huge thank you to Stitch Fix for sponsoring this episode of Don't Mess. If you don't know, Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. Just go to stitchfix.com/mess, M-E-S-S, and tell them your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will hand-pick 5 items to send right to your door. Then you try them on, pay only for what you love, and return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments or get your fix whenever you want. Stitch Fix's styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. I think my brother used Stitch Fix, and I kind of, you know, as brothers do, was like, yeah, whatever. But then when they contacted us, I looked at it and signed up, and it was so easy, and I love the concept of it. I put in all of my sizes, what I was willing to spend, my style, and the box came, and I only sent one thing back because I loved everything else.
Yeah, I don't know. I was not a big fan of that shirt.
You know, I didn't ask for your opinion, but I did send it back because it was the one item I wasn't a fan of, and it didn't fit right. So that's the great thing about Stitch Fix. You don't like it? Send it back. Get started now at stitchfix.com/mess, M-E-S-S, and you'll receive an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/mess to get started today. One more time, in case you forgot, stitchfix.com/mess, M-E-S-S.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you today about Tomboy X. They're a clothing company that sells underwear. They sent me some new sports bras in the mail, and I just tried them on the other day, and they're super comfortable, and I hate shopping for bras, so it's time to stop wearing underwear that doesn't make you feel confident. They have bikinis, briefs, boxer briefs, trunks, boy shorts, bras in every color, and they have sizes extra small to 4XL. Regardless of where you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that anybody feels comfortable in. So go to tomboyx.com/don'tmess and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And Don't Mess listeners get an extra 15% off with code DON'TMESS. Again, code DON'TMESS, D-O-N-T-M-E-S-S, no spaces, for an extra 15% off. Ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/don'tmess. Again, code DON'TMESS, D-O-N-T-M-E-S-S, no spaces, for an extra 15% off.
Okay, guys, we are back with Eden Blair. She's here, and she's going to get into how she's gotten screwed over at her job, which I think we all can relate to, but maybe in different ways.
So I was talking a little bit a second ago about tube sites and how you really are, not only are you pulling money out of that company that produced that video's pocket, you're actually literally pulling money out of the performer's pocket. Because let's say Hustler shoots that scene, okay? And they put it on DVDs, and they put it out online, and someone buys it, and then they download it, and then they torrent it, and then they put it onto Pornhub, right? So instead of selling that movie, that maybe, for example, one of my videos on Pornhub I noticed recently had like 45,000 or 50,000 views on it, instead of selling that scene 50,000 times for however much money they sell it for, which would be amazing, because if I'm selling to 50,000 people, that's actually incentive for them to bring me back and hire me again for another scene. However, if they sell that movie 5 times, they do not give a flying fuck how many views are on Pornhub.
Interesting.
They do not care. They do not care. If you don't sell, you don't get booked.
That seems almost archaic with where we are right now with everything being digital. And I mean, I guess that's maybe because we're coming from a YouTube world. But
yeah. And the hard part is that it all trickles down as well. It trickles all the way down into that strip club.
Yeah.
Because you get it's more like the older guys seem to have an understanding, pay for your time, you know,
like old
few
school
bucks, kind 10 of. Bucks, 20 bucks, yeah. whatever. Right. They get it. Okay. They want you something specific. They pay you for it. They get it. The younger generation, like the millennial generation, they're just like, I don't have to pay for anything like that. Yeah. I don't have to do this. I'm not going to pay $5 to see your Snapchat because I want to see your pussy. I'll just look it up on Google. Like, they don't care. They don't care. And it's really hard. So, the tube sites are trickling down into all of that. Like, I have a VIP Snap. I post on it. You know, I try to post on it every single day. I try to post a nude every single day. I try to post little things about my life, like little things. And, you know, it's like $10 a month. And I think, 10 people pay for it. You know, and that's the other thing, too, I've noticed is when it comes to things like a site called OnlyFans, I had an OnlyFans. It's very difficult to upload shit to. It takes forever. I gave up on it. That's why I'm just I just focus on the Snap.
What about Patreon? You ever try Patreon?
Patreon does not allow adult content.
Oh, then what is Trisha Paytas doing?
Yeah, Trisha, what are you doing?
Yeah, how do you do that?
Is she flashing people?
I try to avoid watching it.
You can talk about sexual stuff. You cannot post sexual images or videos anymore because of SESTA and FOSTA.
Yeah, all I'm getting out of this is just there needs to be more regulations.
Yeah.
And like, SESTA FOSTA needs to be completely reworked to be an actual legitimate regulation for sex trafficking. You know, it's like just because some people don't enjoy their job, doesn't mean doesn't mean they're being forced to work. Those people that work at a fucking business 50 hours a week that hate that they don't have a life, they're not being forced to work. They're doing it because they want to have a job that pays their bills and helps them facilitate their lifestyle.
And they're probably good at it.
It is the exact same thing.
Yeah. Like, you're just doing something
different. Some people love their jobs, some people hate their jobs, and some people just kind of feel whatever.
Do you love your job?
I love what I do. I really do. The only downside for me sometimes is the way that other people treat you. You know? Like, I actually want to make, like, a set of t-shirts. Personally, I want to do one that has, like, porn star on the front and then person on the back.
Yeah.
And then I also want to do one that says, immodesty doesn't equal disrespect.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I think those would sell really well.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Maybe I'll make some. I have, like, my vinyl press at home.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's so...
We love a DIY.
You really are
queen.
Just so fascinating.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I think something I kind of glazed over was, as well as how I really got into the industry. I made a business decision to get into this industry. A business decision. I've always been fascinated with porn. I've always been fascinated with all the documentaries. And unfortunately...
Do you watch porn?
I do still watch porn. I pay for mine and I watch what I want, right?
We'll get to it in a second. I have a question about that.
Yeah, I actually tend to watch. I watch a lot of gay porn and I watch a lot of
See, I kind of get that. Sometimes
I love hot
guys. I see if I see on TV, like, I like.
But
get
I also
why, like,
do. I'm very open ended. Like, I'm one of the not very many performers that do bisexual porn. There aren't a ton of performers that do transgender. Like, work with transgender people, you know, and I'm basically pansexual. To me, if you're attractive to me, you're attractive to me. I don't really care what color
that.
You are, what you declare yourself as sexually.
I 100% get that.
It's who you are and how much fun I have with you.
Exactly.
That's what it is for me. And I wish more people were more understanding of that, you know, because, like, you can, like, there are performers that won't work with people that work with trans performers, or there are people that won't work with people that work with crossover performers, like bisexual scenes and things like that. Like, a crossover performer is someone that is a male talent that does gay porn and straight porn. But the thing is, at the end of the day, when you're doing a scene with a woman, even if you're coming from that, we all get tested the same.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to have a clear test to work with me. You know what I mean? And it's that simple. And, like, if that test is clear, then let's jump in bed. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
You know, so there's a lot of factors to everything. And, like, but for me, a lot of the documentaries are very negative. There was actually a couple, like, the one that sold me, and I was actually lucky enough to have dinner with him as well, was Michael Greco did a movie that was basically like a behind the scenes thing. I think it was called Naked Ambition. And he did a coffee table book of the photographs that he did that was during that documentary that where he was filming it. And that was at AVN. It was a few years back. I think it was like 2012 or something. And it sold me. 100% that I can do that. I just saw it, and it's like, and the, you know, the thing is, like, the fans, and, like, there's some people that are absolutely, like, the worst people on the planet, and they try to, like, make you feel like shit. But, you know, like I said a lot, like, before, like, I was a late bloomer. I had a really rough child. We moved around a lot. I never fit in anywhere, ever. You know, I was always friends with the outcast. I was always friends with the art geeks and the poetry nerds, and, like, because that's who I am.
Yeah,
you
know,
I just happened to get lucky and kind of blossom, you know, but a lot of them did too, you know. And I think that, like, for me, rather than, like, my sister, it made me a more open-minded person. And I try not to live in a bubble. I try to pop a bubble if I find it. And I don't judge a book by its cover. I try to find a page and see if it's interesting. You know?
Love this bitch.
And
I know.
You're the best.
Oh, thank you.
I can't wait to just make it rain on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to bring... I'm going to go stop at the ATM.
Yeah, we're going to...
I'm going to make those paper airplanes for
you.
You
guys can't see this, but I'm dancing a little. But you know what I mean? So I think that's a thing. So that, for me, like... And, you know, and then also, like, dancing and meeting the women that do that and the people that work in that industry, and then going in, like, seeing a documentary like Naked Ambition, which was this really awesome look at not just performers, but the fans and, like, other people that have a lot to do with the industry that help create the industry as it is, and seeing their personalities and seeing how an expo is and, like, all of that, you know. And I was just like, I can do that. And also, again, like I said before, I'm a super sexual person. So I always had fun with sex. For me, it was always kind of a performance anyway, because my end goal is to like completely control that edge and then get them off when I'm ready. Like that was, nice. It's not all about me. Like honestly, like I actually have fun like playing around and like getting them worked up, you know, and I've dated girls and I've dated guys and, you know, so it's like a whole thing for me. But,
so how does dating go for being a porn star?
So like, you just got to find someone that understands. So like,
are you dating right now?
Yeah. So I've been with a guy for 4.5 years.
Okay.
He met me shortly after I entered the industry.
Yeah, because I was going to say that's about
how long. And we actually met on, it sounds weird, we met on OkCupid. Okay. And I actually put, I'm a adult performer on here. And I'm like, if you're looking for a booty call.
Oh my God,
I'm sure
your fucking things were, oh.
I was like, if you're looking for a booty call, do not talk to me.
Love
and
that.
Also I was like, no hardcore gamers.
Okay.
Not into that. Dated that. They're a fucking pain in the ass. I like to go out and do actual things.
Fortnite.
And not,
yeah,
know?
I was gonna say no Fortniters.
Like, no, this is a, like I think this is like years ago, so that wasn't even a thing. Like it was yeah. like Xbox, Call PlayStation, yeah. Call of Duty, that shit. I'm like,
sorry,
I don't care
Ninja.
If you want to do that for like 20 minutes on a Sunday, fine, whatever. It's a video game. You can turn it off anytime. I don't give a fuck if it's live. Like I don't care.
Yeah.
Let's go out and go for a hike.
Yeah.
Like, something, right? So yeah. So that's more like for me, right? And I'm also like, I actually personally do have a bit of a muscle fetish. Now it's like, I love guys that are shredded, but guys that are just big. I've dated quite a few power lifters.
Oh.
I love guys that are just super crazy strong. Like, and so the guy I date, he's actually a personal trainer.
We have our first session with our personal trainer after this.
Yeah, maybe it's
maybe
him.
It's him. Well,
no, definitely not. He's all the way out in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
But,
definitely
he works,
not him,
he works
then.
For a private studio. He actually just started his own app, like online system that he does as
ooh,
well.
A
but,
business
couple.
I know,
yeah,
a power
yeah.
couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also
Jay-Z.
Helps me run my dog business as well. So I do dog boarding. So like he'll watch the dogs when
Will
I have
you watch my dog,
work.
Please?
We can, yeah.
My dog, yes. I travel so much and I feel so bad leaving her with like WAG people. Because, you know, WAG, it's the
yeah,
worst
I know.
App ever.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like it's made for the iPhone 4. It's like the worst. Anyway.
But mine's my own personal business, but
yeah.
But yeah, so he helps me with the business as well. Like he, you know, he does dog walking and he helps me board, and then you know I do all the training, like because I'm a professional trainer. I've been training for years. I specialize in getting hyperactive, anxious dogs, reintroducing dogs to homes like that are rescued, things like that.
My dogs are rescued. She's anxious.
And
I
then a lot
number.
Of my dogs, like if they finish like all of my courses, because I set my course up in 6-week increments, where it's like an hour a week. And you get homework sheets and all of that, and it's very structured because that's what dogs really need. And it's all about communication, teaching you how to communicate, how to them to communicate. We don't speak the same language, you know. So it's all about that, and it's you know, and it's great. And a lot of dogs that I work with end up being like these just really great, happy dogs that are welcome in any home, or they're an incredible partnership with their owner. And some of them even go on to do therapy work as well.
Oh.
So a lot of the rescues that I used to foster are actually service dogs now for psychiatric issues. So before I moved to California. So that's kind of what I was doing when I was in North Carolina. I keep trying to come back around to this. So I actually was in auto body school.
Oh my
wow.
God.
You like just never.
Yeah.
Renaissance.
I was in auto body school in North Carolina. I was stripping to be able to make money for the bills and everything. And turns out, a year in, I found out that I am severely allergic to a chemical and polishing compound. And I was getting massive hives, and like I have a permanent skin condition now from it.
Oh my God.
It's called tinea versicolor. So, like, my body no longer makes a certain amino that controls the pH balance on my skin. So I get like these white, I actually have some on my tummy, I can show you guys later, but like these big white spots and like things like that. And, and it used to be all over my body, though. I had it all down my back, my stomach, my chest, up my neck, on my face. So I've actually gotten very well recovered. Not everyone does, you know, but basically once I had to do that, and I'm telling you, my instructor fought for me, because I love cars. I've been involved in car shows, car magazines. Most of my work as modeling has been car shows and car magazines over the years. You know, I've done, you know, Street Low magazine and a bunch of local magazines and charity shows benefiting animal shelters. And like, I just actually did one in June. That was unfortunately the last one with the person that does them. He's done them for like 9 years and he's just kind of done doing them. But I've gone out for the last, you know, 5 years with him as a guest model to help raise money to help pay for medical expenses for animals that are fosters and rescues.
Oh my God.
And you know, and so it's just, you know, that's near and dear to my heart. And my ultimate goal someday is for have enough of my money saved that I can go and buy a property with some space and actually open my own rescue.
Yeah.
And that's my goal, you know. And not
I was
like,
gonna ask you what your like end goal for.
Yeah, my
because,
end
like,
goal
I'm always
is
so
to
interested.
Invest in properties here in California. I'm actually saving up now to go into deposits for to split between my guy and my roommate, who is a real estate agent who actually owns investment properties in other states at this time, and he specializes in investment properties here. And the goal is for all three of us to come together, get a down payment on a property, turn that property into a multi-unit, get some kickbacks from that, get enough money to buy a secondary property, get kickbacks from that, and then start making money on those properties so we can own a property either further up in Northern California to actually live at permanently and then manage our properties and continue to build those. So that's like the ultimate goal for me is to get a really large property with, you know, maybe a creek or a pond or something like that. So definitely would have to be in a space like that and have a whole room just for kennels, have exterior spaces for dogs that maybe need a little bit more time getting used to the world. And, you know, Dogtown in Utah that's run by Best Friends has these beautiful octagon buildings that are all air conditioned and everything that have runs in them for each dog. And they have a covered space for them to sleep in and like indoor spaces. Amazing. And that would be a goal to, you know, get at least one of those for dogs that maybe aren't as social while I continue to work with them and train them and rehabilitate them and be able to put them into homes that will actually keep them permanently because right. that's and then if they can't be rehabilitated, then I'll take care of them. But
And you would, and ideally you would stop dancing. You would,
yeah, I was wondering about that.
At that point, it would stop dancing. Gotcha. So this goal is for the next five, between the next, I would say I would like to have that property, but already be investing in properties within the next 5 years. But I would like to have that property in the next 8 to 10 years.
So you're She's planning. Got a plan. Yeah, yeah, I'm. This is just.
I'm in, like inspired.
I'm
like,
so inspired.
I'm gonna be, like, I would be a
you just have. I just. I think it's so interesting that. Here you are talking about your long-term business plans when people probably think porn stars and strippers are just dumb bimbos.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Like I said earlier about the way people treat you. You know what I mean? Like it's just funny. Like I was outed by a kid. I said we moved a lot when I was younger. I'm not kidding. We moved like every 4 to 6 months. I don't know why. Wow. My mother's never explained it. We just did. I went to 28 schools in 9 different states.
Oh my God.
It's a lot, you know? And so this one state, Mississippi, we're in a little bitty town called Learned at this little bitty, like my whole grade had 12 people. Okay.
Oh my God.
It
was a
K, it had like 300 people total and only had 8 teachers and it was like K through 12 there. Like it was crazy.
That's nuts.
And so this one kid that was in the grade my sister was in, that hung out with us a little bit after I got into porn, apparently found my first interracial scene. And I'm talking about Mississippi grown boy, okay? Yeah. So he was not okay with that. And he sent the link to my mother and sister in an email with a big title about me being a porn star. And
so your family had no idea?
They had no idea. This is actually a month after I got in.
Oh,
it was not like some girls are able to definitely tie that down for a longer span of time. You know what I mean? I had like some random kid I went to school with for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. And so basically what happened is they didn't open the email. They called me. And my mom and sister are very close. They've always kind of lived in the same like, even today, they live in the same town. My sister now has 2 kids. I have a niece and a nephew. They're very, very little still. And they live like 2 blocks away from each other. They've always been joined at the hip. I'm definitely the black sheep. I've always been very independent. I moved out when I was 18. Like it's just, you know, started working when I was 13. Wow. Always had to pay for all my own stuff. Bought my first car, paid for my first phone, everything.
God,
you know,
you're
so cool. So they didn't talk to me when I was like, yes, it's me. Don't open it. Just delete it. They didn't talk to me for, you know, about 8 months, I think.
Wow.
And if my dad has ever found out, which I'm going to assume he has because my brother lives with him. My brother is a fucking big mouth and he knows. And so, but my dad has never once mentioned anything about my industry, never said anything to me, nothing. He's never treated me 1 ounce differently, ever.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
I love my dad.
Oh, okay.
Love my dad. I'm definitely the daddy's girl. Like I've gone out on like gem trails. He's a mining engineer. So I've gone out on gem trails with him when I was younger. Like my mom had custody. My dad had custody of my brother, you know, so it was really crazy. And, you know, I've always just loved him, and I don't get to see him often anymore. He actually lives in Alaska now, and he works for a mine. So he, you know, he rarely, and he won't come to California. He hates California. So, you know, I've gotten to see him, like, over the last couple of years. Like, when you know, my sister got married, and he was down for Father's Day 1 year when I was actually in town for a charity car show in Utah. So, you know, I get to see him from time to time. I'm very much, like, only get to see my family, like, every few years, really.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worried about it. They check in on me, I check in on them, you know, works out. But but like my mother, you know, like if I get a nomination, I text her. I'm like, hey, I got an awards nomination.
Nice.
You know, or
and she's supportive.
Yeah, like I mean she she's come to accept the fact that I do this. I think for them, as long as I'm happy doing what I'm doing and I'm living a lifestyle that I love, I think that's what's important to them, which is cool. And of course, you know, they all know about my boyfriend and they've all met him as well. He went with me to my sister's wedding and, you know, and everything. And I think that at the end of the day, I'm very lucky in a way that not many people are in my industry, where I'm just open about what I do. I don't hide it. And I think for me, that gives me the ability to create true friendships with people that are open and fun, and they just love me for who I am and not like this other persona that I'm projecting outside of what I'm doing in the adult industry. I'm me all the time. Like Eden is who I am. I've been using this name since I was 18. It's like, and I've never like if someone calls me by my real name, I feel weird. Like I don't connect with it. You know what I mean? And so and I feel like being in this industry has helped me find who I am. You know,
it's an hasn't outlet.
Yeah, it's helped me find who I am. Like, it's helped me find a voice for myself and to be more confident and not take shit from anyone. And like, you know, and I took a lot of shit from a lot of people growing up, you know, over the years, and that would never happen today.
And now they're licking your boots.
Yeah, it's completely
or
empowering.
Other things, you never know.
I love that I can just be who I am, and you can either accept that or we just don't need to be in each other's lives. And it's that simple. I won't be friends with someone that is weird about me being in the porn industry. Why would I want you in my life?
Why would I want you around?
If you're kind of like backhand shunning me for it, you know, like, so the few friends that I do have that are close friends are, you know, supportive of my industry. They ask me questions. Like, we just have fun. We go out, we do, you know, camping and like projects and, you know, just that, you know, we're just people, you know, and they just see me as a person. And like the fact that I can come up like with some crazy story when someone's trying to like talk some smack, you know, at a night out, you know, and like they can't shock me, you know, like the guy I date, like one of his friends tried to like shock me one night
and you were like,
and I just I don't remember what he said, I don't remember what I said, but I shut him up
by like, the end of the night. He was crawling towards you.
He was just trying to like be like super hypersexualized, like, oh, I'm like, oh, this big bad man, and I'm just like, you know, and I just like, I shut him down, you know. And it was really funny and everyone got a laugh out of it, you know, and he kind of learned his lesson about, you know, how he should act as well, you know. So it was like really fun, you know. And I think that that's something that I've learned about this industry is you can, you know, either, you know, in with what I've seen, you either get completely encased in this drama or you can separate yourself from it and you can meet some really genuine people and have really great relationships in your life. And a lot of people don't think that we're capable of that. We're not damaged.
Yeah.
We're not.
You're choosing to do this. You're in full control.
We're just open.
Yeah.
And we're not afraid to be that way. And I think that is actually what more people are afraid of than anything else.
Wow. Well, this has opened my eyes completely to just
changed all my misconceptions
the background stuff, all the, you know, the stuff you have to deal with, all the like, you know, the expos, the laws, the everything. I think
there's just so much I didn't
even think about. Yeah.
But thank you so much. $5,000 a year in testing.
Seriously. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. This is truly like an honor.
You guys are amazing. So.
No, you are. I want you to train my dog. I want to eat food at your strip club. I want to see you spin around.
I want you to smother me with your tits, make me crawl across the floor. Well, like, you really, we'll see you this Saturday.
We'll do it.
Seriously. Thank you again for, taking time out of your day to speak with us twice.
Yeah, I feel like we should pay you for all the knowledge.
You know, Mark, where's our budget on the singles?
I just want to say thank you guys for having me and thanks for giving me an opportunity to let people hear someone that's in this industry and realize that we're not crazy and we're not weird and we're just people like everyone else, and we all have different personalities. And I think that I hope that that relieves some of the stigma that some of those people out there may have about people in any form of the sex industry, whether it's a cam girl or a stripper or a porn star or an escort or anyone, But yeah, if someone, you know, wants to get in touch with me or they want to know more about me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Eden_Blair. It's EDYN_BLAIR. Or you can email me directly at EdenBlair@Hotmail.com. If you have any questions or you want to, you know, order custom anything, you want to buy some panties, you want to get a Skype show, let's hook it up. So,
yes.
You know, and always
just use,
you know,
code James10. Just kidding. Just kidding.
But yeah, you know, and you know, as always, you know, you can find me most weekends, and I always post when I'm working, always on my social media, at the club, because my schedule gets crazy sometimes because I, you know, get work or I get out of town. You know, you can always find me at Fantasy Island Showgirls in Los Angeles on Pico. And I hope that I see you guys there, and I hope that you guys have a better understanding of our industry and the people that are in it. So thank you.
Oh, this is great.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, no,
seriously,
thank you. I feel like we're just like loving on each other.
Wow.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And
we'll see you next week.
Don't mess.
Bye. Don't mess. Don't mess.